You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Taking the floor in the United States Senate from the great state of Michigan, Senator Kid Rock. Do you think it'll be Senator Kid Rock or just Senator Rock, Alex? What do you think? What do you call Kid Rock when he's a senator?
It's funny that you asked that because my wife and I were discussing it last night, and I was like, at a certain point, doesn't he have to drop the kid? I mean, the guy's got to be in his 50s by now.
How could he drop? Adult Rock. No, it's got to be Kid Rock, man. It's just a name, you know, Senator Kid or Senator Rock. Either one is pretty cool in terms of.
If we're going to get a Senator Rock, I want it to be Dwayne Johnson. That's all I'm saying.
No, he doesn't want to be a senator.
Yeah, I heard he wants to be president, which I'm not actually really down for.
You know what? But hey, look, if Trump can do it, why can't The Rock? The Rock has done everything that he's ever set out to do, and he's got the fucking people's eyebrow.
And he's better on Twitter than the president currently is. We've got to hit.
The Rock, I mean, come on. How could we not want The Rock to be president? Can you imagine our gigantic, like, Hulk of a president standing next to the rest of those people? And then, like, they say something goofy to him, and he gives them the people's eyebrow in public? Come
on. You know, every election comes around, and I'm like, I really want someone who can sit across the table from Vladimir Putin, a man that I'm fairly confident has probably ended lives personally.
Oh, my God.
I would like somebody to sit across the table from him and be able to intimidate him. And Dwayne Johnson just might be that guy.
He might be.
You know?
He might be, you know, and because he certainly, he would get his whole WWF or WWE repertoire out, you know, in public. He knows how to play that game, certainly. He'd be like, he'd be up there with Reagan in terms of public performers. Right, and he, you know, he'd do all these stupid things because Putin is so much smaller than he is. Right, put his hand on his head, shit like that in public. You know, hey, come here.
You know, you're selling me on this. I might be changing my position.
Hey, look,
President Dwayne Johnson.
Look, could it get worse? I mean, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, or The Rock? I would take The Rock out of that choice any day. The Rock is public relations savvy. He is very. He's an articulate guy. You know, he looks like he's a good dude.
Honestly, he's very good at splitting the lines between the two political parties. I'll give him that for sure. He's definitely not polarizing.
No, he's a charismatic. You know, I believe he's politically conservative. You know, person of color, and that's not a small deal when you're running for office. And he's got the two things that are the most important thing relative to becoming the president of the United States, and that is name recognition and the ability to raise money.
And I would argue the third most important thing is that he played a Marine in Doom. Like, it's my vote right there.
Hey, he's taking over the planet. Now, listen to this email. Mac, what about The Rock now tied in with Apple and Siri? The Rock is everywhere. If you smell what I'm cooking, bro.
He's a marketing machine. I've been a huge fan of The Rock ever since, you know, backyard wrestling in high school. I just don't love this celebrity push into politics.
Yeah, get
you know, I don't like these two worlds blending this much. I would really much rather Dwayne Johnson being an exception because he seems like a pretty smart guy. But I would rather we were having, like, really intelligent non-lawyers pursuing political office, veterans and stuff like that, and instead we're getting Kid Rock. You know, and it's just,
and
it's not the direction I'm hoping for.
And The Rock itself, okay, so, yeah.
The Rock himself is the exception. You've convinced me. I'm voting for him. I'm going to write him in the next election.
Well, you know what I do like about, and even Kid Rock, You know, you hear them speaking, this populace, we are sick and tired of you guys going to Washington, D.C. and doing nothing. And along with my, you know, they're down with me, which is dissolve the political parties. We need a constitutional amendment that outlaws them. And let's go. They don't add anything. All they do is obstruct. To hell with them.
You know, George Washington did not believe in political parties either. He thought that the president's job would need to be an unbiased position where he could help, you know, mitigate these conflicts, as opposed to running as the head of a political party, which we immediately changed to post-Washington. But in the early days of this country, the president wasn't supposed to be a Republican or a Democrat, or whatever they had at the time.
Right.
He was supposed to be above all that. And we have just slowly moved so far away from that, that the president is embroiled in the absolute worst of it, instead of being above it. And you know, there's a lot of truth to that.
And no, trust me. And I'm so here's a writing assignment for you. If you could modify the Constitution today, like be Elizabeth Montgomery and Bewitched in terms of, you know, moving your nose and it would be done, what modifications would you make? So take that as a writing assignment. Because I would tell you this. I don't think that Madison warned it in Federalist number 10 about factions, which is what we have today. We have two groups that can't do the work of the people. Sequestration was supposed to be an Armageddon situation. It became the rule of the way we budgeted. Okay? It's a joke.
Absolutely.
What we see on health care, a joke. They can't get out of their way. And here's empirically the case I would make to you. Conservative Democrats, moderate Republicans form the majority of those elected. Okay? So when you look at the bell curve of those elected, that is the fat, tall part of the bell curve. But once you draw a line down the middle and label D and R, you marginalize that majority, which has very, very small differences in terms of enacting policy. And what you do is you enable the flanks of the bell curve, which are the radical left and the radical right. And that doesn't help anybody. Because if you took...
You're 100% true. And not only that, but the voters do the same thing. I would argue the vast majority of voters in this country fall into that same category, where they're somewhere in the middle of that bell curve. You know, they're...
Right.
They're politically moderate, you know, with leanings towards one side or the other. But then thanks to having to choose a news network that's targeted at your demographic, and through your social media kind of bubble that you're only going to be seeing people that kind of share your political beliefs, we extremify ourselves. You know, we further separate ourselves, when in reality we have a lot more in common than anything else.
Absolutely.
But you're totally right.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so what we have, and then so what makes me go down this road is I look and say, what is going to change in Washington, D.C. that makes this change? And I would tell you this. We've digested September 11th, and it hasn't fundamentally changed the way we do business. So, and that is 3,000 Americans being killed, with two of the largest buildings in the nation being dropped in the middle of the, you know, the capital of the United States, okay, New York City. Okay, so we've digested that. So in order for us to change, what would it take? You know, multiples of an event like that, something that threatens the nation, that would make us then turn inward and look at ourselves and say, how do we need to do this? Because the way we got here is this dysfunctional thing we call democracy. You have states going down the road of Illinois. They can't pass budgets. They can't pay their own bills. It's a joke. And so
I'm not sure that a large-scale attack like 9/11 or even a series of them, I'm not even sure that could do it. Because the problem, in my opinion, really boils down to money. It's very profitable having this two-party system where they're constantly tearing each other apart. It's important to the news cycle. It's important to pop culture. But conflict sells. And I think that if there were to be another 9/11, let's say there were six of them in the same day and it was one of the worst days in American history, the military-industrial complex would benefit from that. And I'm not one of those people that harps against the industrial complex, but the reality of the matter is that there are definitely politicians that would profit through us expanding the war front, you know, through lobbying in a lot of ways, but just in general.
Right.
So if there was
I think
it would just be more polarized.
I think it has to threaten the democracy, Because if you look throughout history, the only time nations changed themselves was when they were taken to the abyss and their heads were shoved over the abyss, and they came, and then somehow or other they pulled out of it and they said, we got to make fundamental changes. So, yeah. So
see, but that's the scariest part to me, because I feel as though we're on that slope.
We are.
We're still so far away from it. We're still so comfortable that it's going to end up being a problem in my daughter's generation instead of a problem in mine.
You know
what's that old adage? If there must be war, let it come during my time.
Right.
I would rather it did. You know.
Right. No. You know what? I do agree with you that this. But again, what we have is a writing assignment for you, so give that some thought, all right? And we'll move. Hold on. Somebody just emailed me this. They said, "Hey Mac, check it out."
Here gets the mail. What the Rock is cooking.
He was. Let me tell you, he was the funniest. So this is my introduction to WWF. I get out of the Marine Corps. I'm living in San Diego. We have three kids. It's probably 1996, 1997. So my kids are 3, 6, and 9. I'm working on the computer in my bedroom, and my ex is someplace. We're probably at work, and the kids are watching TV, and they were watching wrestling. I didn't really know what WWF was about, but like. And so all of a sudden from the TV room, I hear, "Suck it." And I thought, I thought, what the fuck was that? Did they say suck it or fuck it? All three of them yelled it. And so I get up, I walk out, I look around the corner, and they're watching TV. And I said, "What are you guys doing?" They're like, "We're watching wrestling." I said, "Did you just yell, suck it?" And they're like, "Yeah, Dad, D-Generation X just came out." Right? And I see these idiots, like, they're prancing around the ring, and they do this thing, and I sit down, I watch, and it's funny. I'm watching it, and I'm with them to see how their minds are being corrupted, and I'm sitting there laughing with them. And then The Rock comes out, and he used to do the funniest stuff. Like, he would be getting interviewed, and he'd look at the interviewer, and he'd say, "Hey, well, do you think The Rock ought to blah, 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 blah?" And the guy would start to answer, then he would yell, "It doesn't matter what you think." You know, he had all these hilarious, hilarious bits. And at the end, he had.
No, I would argue Donald Trump does that same thing now, but The Rock does it better.
I would absolutely agree with you. And he does this thing with his eyebrow where he could take one of them and he can, like, send it through the overhead of his forehead. Like, just one of them. And he looks and he does that, and then he'd do this thing, "If you smell what The Rock is cooking." And I sat there and I laughed, and then I started watching it with him. And I saw the greatest cage match ever between Mankind and
Mick Foley and Dwayne Johnson.
And The Undertaker. When The Undertaker throws him off the top of the cage and Foley hits the timer's table. He misses something, and he winds up hitting the timer's table from the top of the cage. His tooth goes through his lip, and you see it fly out. And they take him off on a gurney, and then he comes back. And HBO did a special about it. It's crazy. Google it.
It's funny that that was your introduction to wrestling, because it was that era was mine, too. I had just moved to Vermont. I had never seen wrestling in my life, and I was the new kid, you know? And this group of guys... they were really nice guys. They were like, "Hey, you're trying out for the football team, you can come hang out with us, we'll give you a chance." And I went to visit their house, which was a trailer, because I'm from Vermont, and that's what most people's houses are. And they were watching wrestling. And I was like, "This is ridiculous. This is adult men in spandex wrestling. I don't want to watch this." 15 minutes later, I was just enthralled. You know, I had never watched wrestling before. To be honest, I haven't watched it since high school, living in Vermont with those guys. But they convinced me, like I said, that I was one of those backyard wrestler kids that now you'll see in horrible YouTube videos. We were never that awful.
Right.
But it was literally just because I had never given the show a chance. I haven't again since, to be fair.
And
I watched it for 15 minutes. Dwayne Johnson came out, and I was all about it.
It's hilarious. They had these big personalities, a guy named Stone Cold Steve Austin. He was funny. The Rattlesnake.
I just watched The Longest Yard last night with Steve Austin in
there. Oh my God. And they were, I mean, they're now they're big, a lot of them are big time entertainers, and they had these guys, and then they would, they had the McMahon family was always running around doing ridiculous stuff, but it was a soap opera, but it was really kind of stupid funny. And it was
Have you seen Glow by any chance on Netflix?
No. No, should I watch
it? It's the glamorous ladies of wrestling. It's a Netflix original. I just started watching it, and it kind of speaks to all of those very tenets. You know, beginning of the show, none of the women want to participate until they realize this is a soap opera. We know this,
right? We know.
We know exactly how to do this
intuitively. The email, Mac. This is a little bit of truth serum. Have you ever paid for a WWF or WWE event? And the same question to Alex. Alex, you go first.
I have not.
I have.
I've paid for UFC events, but never a WWE one.
I have paid for WWE. How could you not? If you start watching a soap opera, the biggest event is like WrestleMania. That's when craziness ensues.
Well, I had the benefit of growing up so far that pay-per-view was never on the table. You know? So it would have had to have been as an adult. And then my wife was here to yell at me. So...
It was hilarious. So yeah, The Rock for president. Let me tell you, I think he would certainly be better than Donald Trump. He would listen, and he'd be articulate, and I think he has a way about him. So anyway, yeah, there you have it. So all right, let's talk about but first of all, you got to give us an update. The last time we talked to you, somebody tried to burn your house down, and where is that now?
Unfortunately, I have very little to report. You know, I spoke to the arson investigators a few days ago, and you know, I kind of knew this to begin with. You know, by nature of the fire department putting out the fire, which I'm obviously very grateful for, they also washed away any evidence that police would have to kind of work off of. And so because nothing else has presented itself, they're no longer really actively investigating it. They're kind of in a holding pattern until evidence, you know, presents itself or they get a lead on some other case that maybe ties to this one. But unfortunately, aside from me having my house locked up like Fort Knox now, there's not much else I can do, you know. So I just have to hope that whoever did it doesn't come back, I suppose.
Or hope that they do and you can kick their ass. What about... What about now that you've got Fort Knox going, what's the single most important thing you learned about either the arson piece of it or protecting your own home?
In my scope, what it really was, I've always been a bit of a paranoid person. So having a firearm in my house and, you know, having a firearm nearby when I sleep, especially we had a break-in a few years ago that turned out to be a neighborhood kid, but, you know, we didn't realize it at the time. And ever since then, you know, I've been nervous about noises I hear in the house. The hard lesson I learned from this is that you need to be nervous about the things you hear outside your house as well. You know, especially living in military housing, I'm used to sharing walls.
Right.
So when I hear stuff going on outside, I tend to think, well, there's people out there. That's fine. You know? But now when I hear something going on outside, I'm immediately like, was that in my yard? Was that near my house? You know, The other side of it was fire prevention. Honest to God, like 6 months ago, I remember checking my fire extinguishers, realizing they were expired, and being like, I've literally never had a fire in my house.
Right.
You know, I'm 32 years old. I have never once been put in a position where there was a fire I needed to put out with a fire extinguisher. And but I recognize that they're important, and I was like, I'll get to this when I get to it.
Right.
You know, what are the chances? I realize now that a fire isn't only going to be started like as you're cooking in the kitchen, you know. Fires could very easily be started or start when you're asleep or nowhere nearby. And that fire can spread enough that you could be put in a real bad position. And that's not something that had ever really occurred to me before. You know, I had two fire alarms in my house that were both in really poorly planned places, you know, and had I not been awake that night, we wouldn't have known about the fire until it was too late to get out, you know. And so now my home security used to be all about worrying about a break-in because I thought if someone breaks in while I'm home, they must be breaking in with the intent to kill me. Now, you know, my perspective has changed completely. There are threats that don't even need to come into my house. And that's a much harder thing to address. You know, security cameras and motion sensors, window and door alarms, you know, that's all well and good, but it still means that you need to be much more alert than maybe I was, at least. Others may be different, but, you know, I have to be much more concerned with what's going on in the perimeter of my yard, not just, you know, the doors and windows of my house. And that's not something I had thought of before.
So did you call out, you know, the sensor platoon to put in sensors? Do you have anything that makes you aware that people are on your property, motion cameras or an alarm system?
I do. I don't want to go too in-depth into what I have because I don't want to give anyone the intel.
Who wants to be up all night, too? Whoop, 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 whoop. Another deer through the front yard. Alex goes code red.
It's good for work in that, you know, as my managing editor puts it, I go on fire watch every night when my wife goes to bed. I migrate up to my office, and I have three screens set up for my computer, and one of them is pretty much just security cameras at this point while I work on the other two. But eventually I'm going to need to stop doing this. Right. You know, sooner or later I'm going to have to get back to some semblance of a normal life. And I'm not sure that my alarm's set up and everything. I'm continually testing it now because I'm hoping that eventually I could get to that comfort level where I don't think I need to be monitoring things. But the other side of it, though, is that, you know, I've got a kid on the way. And, you know, we just bought a new car, and I have to be very fiscally minded. So whereas I could have paid, you know, $3,000 for someone to come and put a very elaborate security system into my home, instead I'm trying to find, like, that cross-section between reliability and, you know, really being functional without breaking the bank, you know. And I have to contend with the fact that I'm kind of inept when it comes to a lot of technology. So it needs to be user-friendly, you know, but it also needs to be pretty economical. And, you know, it's a tough thing to find because just like firearms and just like cars, when you go on the Internet, a lot of the forums and a lot of the experts think that you can't get anything of value without buying the most expensive thing on the market. It's not worth shooting unless you got a $2,000 gun.
Right.
And I really can't use that approach. So it's been a great learning experience, but I can't say that I've nailed it all down yet. You know, I'm continually being that crazy person that's sneaking around the cars in my driveway so that I can see if, you know, the alarm will go off and notify me that there's a person in my yard. And when it doesn't, I go, okay, I've got to change something. By the time maybe I'll never think that I have it just right, but by the time I have it just right, I'm hoping I'll be able to say, you don't have to spend $4,000. You can spend $800, do it yourself, and it'll work well. I'm not sure I'm there yet, but I'm hoping to get there. You know?
You know, here's something I learned, doing radio, years ago. I was doing how I got started was I started doing a talk show in a town that had a metropolitan statistical area of about 100,000 people, and up in North Dakota, Grand Forks. And so, you know, you just cover whatever people are talking about at work. That's what you do, and you see story after story of a family dying at night in a fire. And so I had the fire chief on, and I said, hey, in my mind's eye, I smell the smoke. How does this happen? And he said, you're not going to smell the smoke. It's going to put you to sleep. He said the toxics in the smoke, when it starts in another part of the house, will migrate and then put you to sleep. I said, puts me to sleep to the extent I never wake up and get out of bed and I burn? He said, yep. He said, Mac, that's why the smoke alarm thing is such a big deal, and you got to have them. You have to have them battery and then hardwired to your electrical system. So you have them powered by the electricity of the house, and then the backup is battery. And he said that's why you have to do that. And I was like,
you know, and that's the same thing the fire department told me when they came to my house to install more fire or smoke detectors.
Right.
Is I have hardwired ones, but they're only outside. I only have smoke detectors prior to that outside the doors of the two bedrooms.
Right.
You know, and by that time, the fire has already spread far too much for you to be able to get out the main egress points of my home.
Right.
So
right.
We had to put a few other smoke detectors in just to kind of give us an earlier warning.
And they said, and daisy chain so that if one goes off in the basement, it goes off all over the house. They all go off. That's the other important piece of it. And so, you know, but I was always like, how could this happen? Because I know that I would. How could you not smell smoke in your house? And he said, yeah, the toxins will get to you before the smoke does. And I was like, wow. Anyway.
You know, and that's the scariest thing to me.
Isn't it?
In my head, I picture if I'm going to go out before my time, I'm going to go out fighting. You know, that's the way that I look at the world. You know, honestly, it's the best case scenario for me is that, like, I hope I can die for a good reason. You know, I know lots of people would rather die like a very peaceful death, you know, when they're 90 years old, but both my parents worked in nursing homes and I don't particularly want to go that route.
Yeah.
I would much rather go out fighting at 70
big,
than sleeping at 90.
Big explosion all at once.
Yeah,
no lingering.
Zombie apocalypse.
Exactly.
Yeah,
there's nothing left of him. What? He's gone.
The idea that I could just go to bed one night with my wife and never wake up.
Yeah, terrifying.
Is a terrifying, you know, like concept. And you know, and that's the reason why I'm on Fire Watch at night right now. I still haven't bounced back yet from that fear.
It all makes sense. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Alex had an interesting experience. We're going to talk about, get his thoughts on some of the current events, and then he had an interesting experience last week, and we'll let him describe it, going to a prison that's being converted to a shooting range. And I bring that up in the vein of more realistic training for law enforcement officers is critical in the nation, because as much as I'm not a fan of the whole Black Lives Matter thing, I am a fan of people not getting shot when they're pulled over in their car, they haven't broken any law, and they have a weapon on them, and they tell the police that, and the police officer, in my opinion, panics. I'm not a fan of Australian women being shot and killed because they called the cops and are walking up to the car, and the guy gets scared and panics. And the reason that shit happens is because they don't get enough realistic training in facilities like Alex went to, with actors there to raise their heart rate, to confuse them a little bit, and then make them perform in that gymnasium, strengthen those muscles so that when they interact with the public, they're capable of conducting themselves like seasoned professionals and not people who've never done this before. So we'll talk about all of that with our home security and the fire alarm specialist from SoftRep, Alex Hollig. All of that in one interview. More Bombing Radio coming up next. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, battlemug.com.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global Soft Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global Soft website, Look at what events they have lined up. Attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans.
Eight 11 on a Monday. Mike McNamara with you. Are you? Our THAAD missile system just rocked another missile out of the air last night. So
they did another test last night. Really?
Yeah. So yeah. Boom. Sawed off man in North Korea. All that work you're doing, we're gonna blow it. And the one time we screwed the missile up, the United States Navy technician, radar technician, failed to code the missile that launched. As an enemy.
Identified it as friendly, yeah. Identified it as a friendly, inbound.
So everything worked like it was supposed to. The missile launches towards it. It gets near it. It interrogates it and says, oh, that's a good guy. Blows itself up. Selflessly blew itself up in the service
of its country. Not only,
though,
did we knock a couple of ballistic missiles out of the sky over the past few days, but we also flew 2-1 B-1B Lancer bombers right through Kim's backyard. You know, each one of those jets can carry a 75,000-pound ordnance payload, you know. So when we fly a few of those by with, you know, a cadre of fighter jets from two different, you know, Asian nations, I feel like we made a pretty big statement that's not getting all that much publicity, and that is, go ahead and shoot a missile. We will first shoot it down, and then we'll drop 150,000 pounds of ordnance on you immediately, followed by whatever comes next.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of attention right now going towards what Kim Jong-un did, which, don't get me wrong, that's big news. But we shouldn't forget the fact that just because he's got this missile doesn't necessarily mean that he can use it.
Yeah.
You know, and and that's an important thing to keep in mind.
And if he can't use it, and to me, this is why our allies need to invest in their own defense. Because, you know, what is Russia going to say to Great Britain, France, Germany, and the United States when they say knock it off? If Germany's got a strong military, France has a strong military, Great Britain has a strong military, the answer to that is nothing. There's nothing to say. Even China, But if Japan has a robust military, if Australia has a robust military, and if South Korea does, in alliance, in conjunction with the United States, China has nothing to say. It's not a discussion. So, I mean, it's just that whole adage, peace through strength. It's not an adage. It's the way the world ought to run. And you only embolden nations like China to do the shit they're doing down in the South China Sea when you're inept, when you're weak. When you're strong, it doesn't happen. So, anyway, you went to a prison last week. And I've been talking with Mike Musselman, former retired gunner, 1st Marine Division, about what do we need to do to stop this, these crazy killings. Now, I don't know if yours is linked into more paramilitary operations and SS stuff, or if it's linked into just or police work and being able to tailor training to more realistic scenarios. But describe where you went, what you did, and give me your thoughts on it.
Well, you know, that's a great point that we need more training for law enforcement, but we also need to focus on making sure that our elite warfighters, you know, our soft guys, you know, our contractors, our DRS guys and things like that, we need to make sure that they've got the best training available, you know, and to be honest with you, it was Titan Tactical, Titan spelled T-Y-T-A-N, that owns this prison. And, when I went out there, I knew nothing at all of what to expect. Travis Hall, he's a former Green Beret and then spent, I believe, 10 years after getting out of the Army working as a contractor for the CIA and other organizations. And it was during that time that he met Brandon Webb, who's a Navy SEAL and the CEO of my organization. And, you know, they just happened to be talking not too long ago, and Travis mentioned what they were up to. So Brandon reached out to me and said, why don't you go check it out? You know, and I was excited at the idea, but knew nothing, walking in of really what I was going to see. And I was floored. What they're doing there is really incredible. And, it's thanks in large part to the fact that Titan Tactical, is partnered with a company called Titan Pictures, which has actually been around for some time. Making movies. They're a production company. They make advertisements, music videos. They won, you know, when I walked into the office, they had 6 Emmys sitting on the desk as I walked in, and I was like, what have I gotten myself into? This is supposed to be a tactical training facility. You know, what do you have these Emmys sitting around for? But I came to learn, I spent 2 days there, and I learned that that marriage of kind of a movie production company with a tactical training facility really works very well, because the prison was a medium security prison. So there's a lot of bunk rooms, you know, kind of like squad bays in this prison. And because they're a movie production company first and kind of branched out into this realm, by way of hiring some special forces guys and trying to get into this industry, they're able to use kind of their movie production expertise to make for a very realistic training environment, but they're also able to make a completely different training environment in the same space in a fairly short amount of time. A big problem that law enforcement runs into is let's say they go to a facility like Titan's prison, they conduct the training, it costs a whole bunch of money,
right,
and then the following year, if they want to try to conduct that training again, they need to find some way to justify that expense, because the people who are writing the checks are going to say, you were there last year, you know, what, did you not learn it? Do you need to learn it again?
Right.
And so because they're this movie production company, they're able to use those squad bay sized rooms to create completely new scenarios, different room layouts, different hallway layouts, different breaching scenarios. So every time you come, you can get a different look. You can see a different thing. You know, they're working on bringing in role players from the local community where they're training them in some of the tactics, you know, that maybe we would train our special forces guys, but they're also training them to not use those tactics. Because if you spend any time, like I have, you know, in mixed martial arts, it's one thing to train against a guy who knows the same discipline that you do. It's another thing to train against someone who comes from a completely different school of thought. You can lull yourself into a false sense of security by practicing your Brazilian jiu-jitsu against another guy who's really good with Brazilian jiu-jitsu. When you start to scrap it up with a Muay Thai guy, you'll find, oh, I keep dropping my guard. And a BJJ guy might not notice, but this Muay Thai guy just broke my nose.
Right.
You need to do that same thing with tactical training.
Well, here's
the only train against police officers.
Here's an idea. Here's an idea for a business for you and I. Okay.
I'm listening.
All right. What we need to do is we need to buy facilities around the country that will become regional facilities, and offer it at a price so that different departments can come down on a monthly basis, because you got to get there more than annually, and that is, they're going to have to pay for that. But it's cheaper than the settlement you're going to pay when one of your officers smokes somebody, and it's cheaper than the unrest that the community is going to go through when one of your officers. And now the need for it greater than ever, because what was the Mike Brown event? Post Ferguson, Missouri, police officers are retiring at the cyclic rate. And so,
it's a tough job to do to begin with. And
right.
Can you imagine in this environment?
No.
Right now, how many? It's recruiting for law enforcement has got to be.
Oh, it's awful.
Tougher than recruiting for the military has been in years.
You know what? And I will tell you this: you can imagine you're married. You become a police officer. So what you want to do? You and your wife have conversations about it, right? And then you go through actually starting to work. And she has misgivings, and she sees you, the way you react, right? And then all of a sudden she watches the police officers killed in Baton Rouge, the police officers killed in Dallas. And you walk through the door, and she looks at you and says, I can't do this. I can't live for 30 years like this. And that's happening all over the country where guys are saying,
We're losing great, great police officers.
Right, great public servants.
I mean, I've said it before on this show. I really do firmly believe in that 10% rule. I think if you've got a big enough demographic, 10% of them are probably crappy at their job. But we're losing more than 10%.
Right.
You know, we're not only losing those crappy guys. We're losing a cross section across the board. The meritorious promotion police officers are going just as quickly as the crappy ones. And what we're going to be left with are two groups of law enforcement officials. The first group will be the ones, you know, in the Marine Corps, I used to call them the legitimate G.I. Joes, the guys who could have gone and done something different. They could have gone and made a ton of money, but this is what they're built for, and it's what they wanted to do. The problem is that they tend to be the minority. A lot of other people join the military or go into law enforcement for other reasons. So you're going to end up with the G.I. Joes in the minority and the guys who don't have other options in the majority left. You know, because if the job is that bad, it's not like the pay and benefits are that good. You're going to end up with the people who are, it's this or nothing, or those people who are just willing to weather the storm. And
right.
I feel like there will be fewer really highly qualified people willing to weather the storm than there will be people who are just like, it's better than nothing. You know, and those aren't the people that we want pulling you over when you have a firearm in your car or responding to that Australian woman's call. You know, and it really is. It's a tough situation, though, because how do we shift our culture towards appreciating law enforcement? But we also need to shift our law enforcement culture towards appreciating the community.
Yeah.
You know? And
I think the answer,
just like you're saying, is training.
I think the first thing you got to do, in fairness to them, and you know, Mike and I were talking about, and I don't know if you got a chance to experience, Alex, did you go to any of the enhanced Mojave Viper training? Out in 29 Palms, where they had...
I was party to a lot of it, but I never got to go through it. I spent a lot of time out in Mojave Viper. My wife worked out there.
Really?
But I didn't go through the advanced Mojave.
So you're familiar with all the role players we had out there. I mean, we essentially did what you were talking about doing. We built the cities. In fact, if you drive around Camp Pendleton and 29 Palms, you will see these small villages, and some of them are medium-sized. You'll see the mosque there. You'll see the tower of the minaret. You'll see all the things that we needed to put in there to give people repetitions in our gymnasium to make their muscles strong. So then when they got into these situations, they would have a clue. And we would
hear the call to prayer at different times of day,
right,
and things like that.
So that
people could get accustomed to that.
Right. And so when you hear the call to prayer, you know, there can't be this chorus of, hey, fuck you, okay? That's not what we want to do. And so, but left to their own devices, that's what you'll get. And so what the Marine Corps did, and I think it was awesome, is that you put young squad leaders, platoon commanders, company commanders, and fire team leaders in this gymnasium, very realistic, where people spoke the language, wore the dress, you know, wouldn't do what they got told to do, all the stuff that you encounter in real life. And it was it got them to where you didn't get confused and you didn't take life, which was in keeping with General Mattis's, you know, tenet of first do no harm. First do no harm, and then right after that, no better friend, no worse enemy. And so this was under the no better friend part of it, right? And then being prepared to deal with the no worse enemy, you know, and that part of it. So very, very interesting. Because Mike said the same thing to me. He said, we used to go down to a place in San Diego and do training. It was like a Hollywood set. And they would configure it and then, you know, put people through it. So to me, we dot the nation with these things. And we allow police departments to include rural departments to come in on a weekly, monthly basis and work on their skills. And so they go back to their communities. And the way you justify it is it's cheaper than insurance settlement. It's cheaper than the damage that's going to get done to your city by the riot.
And what's the value that you want to place on an innocent human life? You know, and that's really ultimately what we're talking about here is boiling it down to saving innocent lives. You know, and I recognize that, you know, it might cost $10,000 to go spend a few days in a facility like that. But just like you're saying, you know, a $5 million payout, you know, will maybe get the family to stop, you know, harassing the police department about the horrible thing that an officer did.
Well, and
but that doesn't change the tragedy that that family went through, that that community lost someone that could be important to that community, certainly important to that family. You know, that it's really hard to quantify that. So if you want to get $10,000 is a lot of money, but, you know, what was that person going to do for their family or their community for the rest of their lives?
Right.
You know, $10,000 is a pretty small price to pay.
Right.
And, you know, I got to say, so going through the training facilities that Titan had, they really had a strong focus on trying to make sure that they could tailor whatever they offered you to what the challenges you faced were. You know, so there was a lot of other people taking the tour with me and going through the facilities. A lot of people that represented, you know, three-letter organizations, local law enforcement, and then a lot of, you know, retail facilities, you know, companies that are engaging the tactical market by using special forces guys and stuff like that. And that's where kind of that movie production thing comes in.
Right.
Because Titan started as a movie company, not only can they do all the sets and stuff, but they have cameras, really high-quality cameras, set up everywhere.
Right.
Slow-motion cameras, things like that. So, you know, I come from playing football, right? And so after you play a game, win or lose, the whole team gets together and you watch the footage.
Right.
And you use that footage to find that's where that went wrong, that's where you need to improve, this is what's working. So what Titan offers is that same thing for that kind of training. Instead of having the commander or the unit leader or the team leader present in the room as people are clearing a facility or doing a hostage negotiation, they can sit in the control room and watch, you know, 50 screens of the entire facility and really keep a strong understanding of what's going on everywhere. Then when you leave, they can give you a number of different things. They can give you just all the raw footage for you to go back and analyze like game tape.
Right.
They can give you a highlight reel that you can use for marketing material. You know, they can slow it down to the point where you can watch the round leave a rifle's barrel. You know, so when it comes to things like breaching and stuff like that, it might seem superfluous to be able to get down to that level of slow motion, but it really offers you the ability to go, you missed that corner right there. I know you swept really quickly, but you weren't paying attention as you swept past that corner, and you need to be, because
right,
that's where the person who kills you could very well be hiding.
Right.
You know, so it offers a great opportunity to get high-stakes training in a low-stakes environment. And then they can go in, change it all around in a matter of hours, and you could be in a completely different scenario without ever having to move. You know, but the most important thing that they're doing there, in my opinion, though, is Eatonton, Georgia, is where Titan's training facility is. It's in the former Putnam State Prison. They also have 640 acres of ranges and a couple
wow.
of other facilities in the town. But so Eatonton's got a population of 6,000 people. It's a real small town. And, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, they had a coal refinery and a mobile home manufacturing plant that employed most of the town. And in the span of like 6 months, both of them closed down.
Nice.
And in a town of 6,000 people, 3,000 people lost their jobs. You know, the community is the very definition of that small town America, you know, that got passed over by the Obama era stimulus packages that never bounced back from the recession.
You know
what? Dying.
It's interesting. That's exactly where my brain went. If you want an explanation for how Donald Trump gets elected, all across the Midwest and flyover country, they have sat out this NAFTA globalization of our nation's industry, and they have paid for it. The migrant farm workers that used to come and buy, you know, products and goods and services, they don't exist anymore. All right, you have huge machines, right? You have GPSs, you have drones that do agriculture now, and it's much more efficient. You have factories that used to dot the nation that are gone. If you didn't take your factory and go to Mexico, you're stupid. You can't add. And so, but that has not tended to impact the coasts, right? Which in their giant cities, live a different life. And so,
we've created self-sustaining economies, right, in the coastal region.
And high technology loves the coast. Great way,
exactly.
Great standard of living. And so there's this have and have not economic development that goes on in the nation. And so that's what Donald Trump spoke to, and those are the people that he spoke to, and that's why he's the president of the United States. And so what Alex is talking about is absolutely emblematic of what's gone on in this country and what people have sat out, and they've been told election after election, I feel your pain. We're going to bring jobs here, but nobody does it, and they're sick of it.
And that's why I love this facility. You know, when I go to cover a lot of stories, there are times where I'm walking into a hostile environment, you know, where I'm here to get the scoop on the bad shit that you're doing. And I loved getting to go to this Titan facility, and I knew nothing at walking in the door, and within 15 minutes I was like, this is a great idea, and it's a good thing you guys are doing. The mayor was there to meet me when I arrived.
Wow.
You know, and
okay,
do you
think they'll be pissed when we clone their idea and take it all over the country and then knock it out of the park? Do you think they'll get pissed?
I got to tell you, knowing some of those guys like Travis, for instance, Travis Hall, I probably don't want him that pissed at me. these are not only some highly trained and scary dudes, but they've got their own prison facility to keep training how to come burn my house down much better than the last guy.
Dude, by the time we do our initial public offering and they find out about it, that ship has sailed. You'll be living on Alcatraz, and there'll be no way that unless they do recruit The Rock, there's no way they're going to get into Alcatraz.
I don't know, man. Sean Connery and Nicolas Cage did a pretty good job too. So
I know. The email question for you, Mac. This does sound like a cool story. Let's see. I'm curious, though, they do both live fire and non-live fire events inside the prison on the compound. That's pretty crazy. What was the inside like? Because you'd have to have certainly very defined places in the prison where you could do live fire, because the rounds that get fired out of weapons can't be bouncing around the concrete down the hallway.
He's 100% right.
What was that like?
So inside the facility, they have very specific areas set aside for very specific tasks. For instance, they've got the solitary confinement area that they're completely refinishing to make look like a brand new facility, specifically for SEER training, so that they can stick people in those solitary confinement cells during SEER. Conversely, on the other side of the prison, they have a whole wing that they did not finish at all. They cleaned it out, you know, but it's been abandoned for 10 years. So it looks just like a prison in Iraq, you know. And for their purposes, that's not only good for training, but it's good for filming. Because a big part of what's funding this endeavor is the idea that Georgia has become kind of a Hollywood, you know, a Hollywood junior. You know, Marvel's filming all of its movies out of Atlanta now. A lot of other big studios are, too, because the tax incentives are good.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So they're able to pay for things like their 640 acres of machine gun ranges and airstrips and DZs, as well as the prison, by also supplementing that income by bringing in movie studios to film, you know, like, for instance, Titan Pictures just signed to do Daryl Strawberry's biopic.
Wow.
Daryl Strawberry was there not too long ago. And but by doing things like that, they're able to supplement their tactical training side of the company with Hollywood money, effectively. And what's great about that is it gives them the chance to do stuff that you won't find in other places because they just signed a multi-million dollar deal for something else elsewhere, you know? Whereas there's another prison that you can do tactical training in out in Florida. But, you know, they had to take out a $5 million lease on the prison, or not a lease, a loan on the prison in order to buy it. They started out $5 million in debt. So now when they run low on money, because they need to make a certain amount of money for months to pay their mortgage, they start letting, you know, SEAL Team 3 come in and blow up buildings. Because they're like, well, we need to make some money, and they said they'll pay us $50,000 to let them shoot TOW missiles at this place. So we'll let them do it. Titan doesn't have to do that because they made a deal with the town and effectively got the prison as payment for a lot of the work that they've been doing for the community, which they've been doing like a rebranding of the community to try to bring in some more Hollywood big budget money. But because they don't have to worry about making that mortgage payment, they don't have to worry about getting desperate and letting SEAL Team 3 come and shoot TOW missiles at them, you know? and that's great because it means that they can keep doing what they want to do. They're building an indoor shooting range on their sound set. And I love that because, you know, so much of Hollywood is so liberal and so anti-gun. I love that, you know, well, if you want to come shoot your movie in Georgia, we've got a pistol range right here on site.
Yeah, we don't do that.
You don't have to cope with that.
L.A.'s getting hammered by the loss of the film industry. In fact, in the last mayor's election, it was a big deal between motion pictures going to Canada, going to places like Georgia and different states that have really ramped up recruiting and subsidizing the film industry. And then Los Angeles enacts condom law for the porn industry. And then, so they, what did they do? They went to Vegas, man. Vegas, like, condoms? We don't care. Come, bring whatever, do whatever, do whatever you want. LA is just reeling,
you know?
And again, you're talking about millions of dollars paid in grips, electricians, construction guys that build all those sets and do that. It's a heavy union business, Hollywood is. And you know what, though?
I'm happy to see construction workers and carpenters and masons in Eatonton, Georgia,
nice,
getting work making these sets. I'm happy to see that, in all honesty, over more of, because you're 100% right. It's the blue-collar workers in Hollywood that are kind of like, that end up getting hurt here.
Oh, man. Amazing.
Claire Danes was in one of Titan Pictures' things. You know, she flew in for 3 days to film her part and then flew back, you know? But you're not going to fly a Gripen. You're not going to fly, you know, a carpenter in. However, I am happy to see these jobs manifesting in the middle of America. You know, LA's going to find a way to right itself. LA's not, you know, the town itself, the city government might go bankrupt, but the town of LA is going to be fine. You know, but the town of Eatonton, Georgia, that's up in the air. You know, anytime you have that much unemployment, you have that much poverty, you get that much more crime and that much more drugs. And, you know, one of their employees, his name was Calvin Thomas, awesome guy. You know, I worked alongside him running through the prison doing all this stuff for a full day before I found out he's only been out of prison for 4 months. He had been in prison for 26 years prior to that.
Wow.
You know, and I sat down with him and I was like, what the hell are you doing here, man? Why'd you leave one prison to go work in another? and he was like, well, in this town, I was just going to get out of prison and go back to selling drugs. I don't even do drugs. It's just like, that's your choice. I don't have enough money to move, so I'm going to go back to my old job. And it just so happened he ran into Jim Stone, who's one of the executive producers over there. And Jim Stone was like, well, hey, man, we need some help. I'll bring you on. Hired him right then and there. And for the last 4 months, he's been working there, and it's changed his life. You know, it gave him an opportunity to do something other than going back to what he was doing before. And for me,
that
feels a lot like the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, prison is certainly not the Marine Corps, but everyone's afraid to get out. And we're all like, I'm just going to go back to being another kid on the block. I'm going to go back to the poor choices I was making that led me to decide to leave, to go join the military.
Right.
You know, and it gave him an opportunity to kind of start a new life And I'm rooting for him, you know. I'm not just him, but for his town, you know.
Right.
Bennington, Vermont, where I'm from, you know, the same thing happened. A couple of factories closed, and now no one's got jobs, and everyone's just going to jail for heroin.
Right.
You know, and I would love to see some kind of business, especially a veteran-owned business,
we love
come
that.
In and kind of reinvigorate that community. I wish it could happen in every town. If it can't happen in every town, I can at least root for them when it does.
No, you know what? And here's the deal. When we, you know, our first prototype that we'll do, we'll pick a small town someplace, and we'll say this is where the regional police training facility is gonna be built, and we'll do it.
Honestly, man, the small town's the way to go. Talking to that mayor, he was like, "We just passed legislation to make it easier to get film permits in our town. We just passed legislation for different sound ordinances so that you can bring helos in over the prison in the middle of the night when you want to do fast ropes."
Right. They don't
we
care.
We just signed new legislation.
They'll give you anything.
Yeah, as far as they're concerned, you're bringing the only money into this town that's coming into this town.
Yeah.
You want to fly helicopters over our house in the middle of the night, that's a small price to pay.
Yeah, because we all know.
You can't do that stuff in L.A.
No, you can't. In any big city, it's like, I mean, let me tell you, you could hardly fire artillery at Camp Pendleton without the whole world having a conniption fit. And people call the base, it's like, look, this base has been here since 1942. Okay.
Yeah, you bought that house a mile away from
here. Yeah, you knew it. What do you think we do here? You know, play cards? Well, we do, but, I mean, when you hear loud explosions at night, it's what we do. Guess what? This is one of our major bases. We need it near the coast. We're really sorry. All right? But that is the sound of freedom, man. Love it. Leave your windows open. Yes.
In a past life, I worked in the racing industry, you know,
what?
And you get the exact same thing. Like, if you go to Lime Rock Park in Connecticut or Road Atlanta here in Georgia, these people will buy a house right outside the gate and then immediately start complaining at city council meetings about the sound of the racetrack. It blows my mind. I can't understand it. But Travis Hall, actually, he used the exact same terminology that you said. He was like, it's the sound of freedom. And that's the same thing the mayor told me, too. So, granted, they haven't started bringing helos in low in the middle of the night over town. But once they start doing, you know, the town might change its tune. But right now, the community support there is phenomenal. You know, they know that they're hurting. But I appreciate that Titan recognizes that the community is hurting, and they're not trying to fleece them over it. Instead, they're like, we're bringing in a bunch of money. They're building playgrounds. They just bought the old bank on Main Street that they're turning into a small business that somebody, like a local, is going to be running. They've hired a bunch of people from the local community. It's a really, they're good people doing a good thing, and I don't see that a lot. I tend to run into only bad people doing bad things in my line of work. You know, so it was refreshing. It really was.
No, and let me tell you, I mean, like, people say, well, how would you ever do this? No, if you can find a facility, okay, if you can find a facility that you can use, and again, prison, that's big money, okay, buying that police. I'm sure they got it for a fraction of what it was worth, but
I'm sure they got it for a steal, yeah.
Right, but still, major capital investment. You could start smaller. You could buy a school, right? You could, you know, you could buy a whole, there's a whole, you could buy a factory. There's a whole series of things that you could do, but the biggest thing that you can't buy except in small towns is a level of cooperation that they want you there. They need you there because they have run out of Schlitz. People have left town. And that's the level of cooperation you need to make something like that go. But you know what? And what you are is you're blowing hope and vibrancy back into a community. And I don't know, how many days were you there? Did you get that sense of how excited they were to have that business in near the town?
It's funny, spoilers for my article, because part two hasn't come out yet, but that's right. Actually exactly how I close out part two, is as I was leaving the town, you know, because on my way into the town, I wasn't paying much attention.
Right.
I was looking at my GPS, I, you know, looking around all this cute little town. What? Who cares, you know? On my way out of town, you know, I stopped at a little diner and had breakfast. I drove through Main Street. People there, like, when you're, especially in Georgia, a lot of parts of Georgia kind of look like you're playing the video game Fallout 4. You know, there's just houses with holes in the roof. You're not sure if someone lives there or not, or if all those trucks on the lawn are just still there from whoever used to. You know, and so when you're going through Eatonton, there's definitely poverty there. There's definitely poor neighborhoods. But the people are positive. They seem optimistic. you know? And I'm sure a part of that is because it's a small community, and they knew that a whole bunch of us were coming in to take this tour and see the facilities, so they were on their best behavior, I'm sure. You know, I mean, when the mayor was there to meet me when I got there, I realized this town knew I was coming, you know? But even by observing interactions between other people, it really does seem like they're on the up and up, you know? And the money hasn't really started flowing in yet, so it's really just, it's optimism. And you don't see a lot of optimism in small-town Georgia anymore.
Right. No.
You know, usually in small-town Georgia, you just see trying to get by.
Right. And then they've resigned themselves to what's the next bad thing that's coming. The kids, when they graduate from high school, they're all leaving town. They're going to Atlanta. They're going to Birmingham. They can't, they're not going to be able to, you know, stay in town. And it's sad. And so when you're able to do this kind of stuff, it's very cool. Economic development in flyover land. And it's very cool. And what it gives is it restores hope to people's lives in these places, which is awesome. All right,
go ahead. Oh, and on top of that, they get to train some of America's best warfighters and best law enforcement officers to do a better job. You know, so when you get to help a community and help make law enforcement and our military infrastructure better, that's awesome. You know, if you can get rich doing it, God willing, I hope they do. You know, I hope that their model is awesome, and I hope that they make $1 trillion, and then maybe they can invest in your and my business so that we don't have to crowdfund.
We don't need them, okay? We're going to crush it. And we just want them. Don't be pissed when we go by you jabronis on the fly, okay? If you smell what I'm cooking, okay, just don't be pissed about it, okay? Because we're not going to be pissed at you. We don't want you to be pissed at us.
See, now I think it's time we mix these things together. Bring the rock in.
Boom, bitches! Don't be pissed because we got out in front of this shit. We know. Okay. Anyway, go ahead, Al.
I've got to say the coolest thing out of all of it, though, is, as great as it is to help the community, as great as it is that they've got like all these machine gun ranges and stuff like that, the coolest thing out of all of it is that feeling of walking around the basement of a prison that's been abandoned for 10 years. And a group of Navy SEALs and Green Berets. Like, walking around an abandoned prison sounds like a pretty scary endeavor. It's not that scary when you're part of a group of Navy SEALs and Green Berets and Delta guys.
Right.
Instead, it's just awesome.
Right.
You know, there was no lights in the basement. It was every bit a horror movie. But it was so cool to get to walk around this old prison with a flashlight. They're still duty rostered on bulletin boards, you know.
That's
awesome. In the solitary confinement cells, you know, things are scraped or carved into the walls that are still there. And it was awesome. You know, that's the kind of thing, how many chances in your life do you get to go wander around an abandoned prison? You know? It was so cool. It was a great experience. And I wish them all the best. I really do hope they're successful.
It sounds awesome. All right, tell everybody where they find your work, Alex.
Well, you can find me on softrep.com if you want to find just my stuff. Softrep.com/authors/Alex Hollings. Find me on Facebook at Alex Hollings Writer, and you can find me on Twitter at Alex Hollings 52.
Spell Hollings.
Hollings.
There you have it. The in a wide ranging interview from WWF to political campaigns to prisons to home security and arson. He does it all, okay? He does it all.
Hey, All Marine Radio, it's a one-stop shop, man.
It's the best, man. You don't hear it. You don't. This is. I'm the only guy that does like this. So anyway, all right, bro. Thanks for the visit. Always awesome having you on. Good luck with your writing and good luck with the baby that's on the way. So keep it up, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, man. Always a pleasure.
All right, there you have it. The one and only from SoftRep, Alex Hollings. I love doing All Marine Radio, by the way. We're going to take a break. We'll check some news headlines when we come back, and we will go ahead and Mike Musselman is going to join us here on a Monday.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs.
Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you, the Battle Mug. Starts at 10 pounds of aluminum, it's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug, scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Don't be trying to steal my prison idea either. Because, yeah, maybe those, like, special forces goofballs won't have an issue with it, but I will. Okay. Trust me. It's interesting, this case up in Minneapolis. When they're talking about, you know, was this guy trained? You know, he went through the course on firing your pistol. He went through. That's not what we're talking about. And if you listen to the program, you know. That isn't good enough, man. That's not good enough when you have to make shoot, no shoot decisions. It's bullshit. You gotta have more and better, and we're capable of it, and I think we as a nation have to invest in it. That's all there is to it. So, yeah, don't anybody dare think, cause if I find out about that shit, it'll go south in a hurry, okay? That's right. Before the IPO goes down, it'll go south. Yeah. Regional look, and, because, you know, you don't want, first of all, the government can't get their shit together quick enough, you know. So what you're doing is you're going to go run a sample and pick a town in New Mexico and offer it to the state and all the law enforcement areas. Actually, do it in a corner of a state where you would have maybe three or four states in the region. Like, do it in a corner of Arkansas where you would have Arkansas, Mississippi, I don't know who else is even, Tennessee, who else is around there, Kentucky. They could get to this place so that you'd have the density, you know, to make it work. And just say, look, we want to get your guys to the gymnasium on a weekly or at least monthly basis, okay, to do live fire with actors here. And you tell us the scenario you want us to produce, and we'll produce a scenario. And then your guys are going to come down. They'll shoot their weapons. You know, there's munitions you can put in weapons that fire paintball, soap, shit like that. And so it'll be all, you know, your shit. You can bring your radios down here. You know, you can bring your vehicles down here. You can do whatever you want to do. And we'll set up the scenario. Okay? And you can put your guys through it. But they have got to constantly get to the gymnasium of decision-making under stress. Got to do that. Now, the president tweeted here. About China. All right. Then here's what he tweeted. China is very much the economic lifeline to North Korea. No, this is in April. He just tweeted about it this morning, for God's sakes. Let me get his Twitter account up, and I'll read it to you. And I just want, and you all know because you listen and you hear Grant Newsham, that the United States has been doing this nonsense forever. We've been doing this forever. And so, I am very disappointed in China. Our foolish past leaders have allowed them to make hundreds of billions of dollars a year in trade, yet they do nothing for us with North Korea. Just talk. We will no longer allow this to continue. China could easily solve the problem. Newsom is now working for the White House. Newsom wrote that shit. Trump didn't write that. He doesn't know. It's incredible. Grant Newsom writing tweets for Donald Trump. Who knew? But he's exactly right, right? You know that from just what you've heard Grant talk about, right? What does the United States do? We don't do anything. We make a public statement, and then China does what they want. And now you have this shit sandwich on your hands. Yeah, and again, I go back to my whole peace with strength thing. You know, we're having a reconciliation in Europe that could lead to another 100 years of peace. But France, Germany, Great Britain, I mean, Holland, Norway, they've all got to establish credible militaries. They don't have to be overpowering except when we act in concert. Okay, so we're not asking you to break the bank. Okay, we'll do that. But what we're asking is that you be credible enough so that when we add the military formations of Germany to the United States, to France, to Great Britain and Norway and Belgium, Holland, the Netherlands, right? And it may simply be having fighter squadrons. It may be having aerial refuelers. But when we put this bitch together and we look at Russia and we say, knock this shit off in the Ukraine, there's only one answer. Okay, sorry about that. And the next thing we do is we develop some alternative energy capability in Western Europe so they can tell Russia to piss off. And they don't need to do business with them. And so when you put that in jeopardy, what would happen in Moscow? Hey, Vlad, we can't lose that contract. I mean, you beat them about the head and shoulders with it, but what we're now talking about is losing that. You're not going to allow that to happen, are you? Well, President Rock is, how about it? Yeah, The Rock. I should go on YouTube and find out. Hey, let me tell you, if you don't think The Rock is funny, then you don't know what funny is. Because if you see him in the WWF, he is hilarious. Absolutely, positively hilarious.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Yeah, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
This hour of All Marine Radio is brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the world-famous Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.